Good morning. My name is Rochelle Ferguson, and my husband and I, we are so excited to be sharing with you today. We've been in vocational ministry for the last 22 years. I know I look really super young. You don't know how that works out. But anyways, we're just glad to be with you talking about the family. I love this. Look around. There are children of all ages coming together, and this is so rare, but so needed in church in America. And so I'm so excited as we are continuing this series on rooted families, and we're hitting our fifth discipline today, talking about how rooted families serve God together.
And so Rochelle, we have got a problem that we need to talk about right now. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, hey, this has to wait, but this cannot. Look who took a wrong turn at the family entrance.
Okay. Norman, we're in the middle of something really important right now. Can we talk about this later?
Rochelle, are you seeing what I'm seeing? I'm not seeing just kiddos here. I see grown-ups. Oh, my goodness. We've got, I don't know what we're doing here, but we got to make a beeline back to Crossroads Kids, and I mean fast. Oh, by the way, I've read about this before. It's easy to outrun a grown-up if you run in a zigzag line. Oh, by the way, don't look them in the eye because you're sure to spook them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Norman, I think you're talking about alligators. These are just grown-ups. We don't have to be afraid of them. I don't think you understand. We talked about this. This is how it's supposed to be. This is a family service where the kids and the adults are in the exact same service.
Whoa. Who made that decision? I mean, talk about brave. Very few churches mix these dangerous combos together. Adults who want to be quiet, kids who don't. I mean, that's crazy.
I know, but we talked about this when we planned the service. Don't you remember?
Oh, of course I do. It's right up here in my noggin. I put it for safekeeping. Oh, by the way, everybody, I should introduce myself. My name is Norman from Cloquet, Minnesota. And if you're fact-checking me, it's a real place. So make sure to open that ChatGPT and put the Q-U-E-T. That's the French spelling of Cloquet.
Okay, Norman, we do not have to get into all these times of all of what your whole background is. Okay.
Well, I'm sure they want to hear about it.
No, I think they don't. Okay, so what is this that you have here?
Oh, this thing. Yeah, this is a problem here. This is a big problem because it's a plant that I bought and I'm just stumped about how to make it grow. I've done everything.
Okay, I think you do have a problem, Norman, because anybody who's looking at this plant knows that this isn't growing. This thing's like dead.
That's dead. I mean, that's
what
there's
no. What did you do to it?
Okay, I've done everything I was supposed to do. I watered it every day. I put fertilizer on it, which made it a little pretty stunk up the house, something fierce, you know what I mean? I've even made sure there's proper airflow to the plant. I took it with me everywhere. I even brought it to church. And I sung to it once because I read this study that if you sing to plants, they grow. Do you want to hear me sing?
No, Norman, nobody here wants to hear you sing. Okay.
No.
You forgot one thing though.
What? What is that?
Did you make sure that there were enough nutrients in the soil?
Okay, that's the one thing I'm not a fan of, dirt. I mean, would you like to be planted in the dirt? Then why do we go around planting these plants in the dirt? I mean, I don't like dirt.
That's your problem, Norman. Every plant, if it's going to grow, needs to be planted in good soil. And it has to be resilient against all the things that come against it, like the wind, you know, the rain, maybe even snow. I don't know. This is important now. In fact, Norman, I know you didn't plan to do this, but this is a pretty good intro into what we are talking about with rooted families and what it means to serve God together.
You mean to tell me that this dead plant can teach us something about how families are supposed to grow and how they can serve God together?
Yes.
No way.
Serving God together is way more about what's going on underneath the surface than what the plant even looks like on the outside.
Okay, so you mean to tell me that there is way more going on in the dirt under the surface with the roots of the plant, the same thing that God is doing in our hearts? I knew family work was dirty business.
Okay, Norman, you are right. And there is so much more to the family than just making sure you've got the right outfits for those family photos.
Kind of like mine here.
Yeah, that one right there. Are looking good as you come to church, right?
I love this outfit.
What a lot of people are not paying attention to is what's happening underneath the surface of families. And that is the most important thing to pay attention to.
Amen.
In fact, Paul talks a lot about this in Romans 12.
Oh, yeah. I read those verses in preparation for today, but I didn't think you'd want to talk about that.
Well, why wouldn't we talk about it?
Well, what Paul is talking about in these verses is hard work. You could say dirty work. It's the kind of like roll up your sleeves, put on your work gloves, put on a hard hat, take your lunch pail to work kind of work, not the kind of stuff I'm used to.
Well, Norman, you are right, but if you don't do this kind of work, you know what you can't have?
What is that?
A rooted family that passes on their faith to the next generation. And that is the whole goal of being a rooted family.
Okay, tell me about it. After reading that passage in Romans, I even came up with this catchy phrase that I think is pretty good if you ask me. Want to hear it?
Okay, we'll go along with it. What is it, Norman?
I gave it to the people back so they could put it on the screen like Pastor Phil always uses. Makes me look all like sophisticated like.
Okay.
Here we go. Rooted families live counterculturally so they can impact generationally. Oh, did you hear that?
What was it?
That got a few oohs from some of the grown-ups in the audience. That's what they do, and they think something's been really good. They go, ooh, all sophisticated like, and they write in their little notes.
Okay, Norman, I think you're on to something, and here in a little bit, we're going to go into that and dig into that idea a little bit more.
Oh, dig into it. Pun intended. I had another idea, by the way. I think we should hand out, as everybody leaves today, little golden shovels to remind everybody that the work inside of our hearts, the dirty work, is more important than the exterior. I could put it right next to my rubbing cross that I got about Easter time.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
Norman, we're not going to do that, okay? But here in a little bit, we are going to talk about how a rooted family lives counterculturally so that they can impact generationally. But first, this wouldn't be a family service if we didn't get up on our feet and get moving. So we're going to play a little bit of a game.
We're going to play a game, and I'm going to go get some dirt for this plant.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. How was that fun playing a game this morning? Maybe the first time you've ever played a game in regular church. But hey, I want to say so sorry for the interruption earlier. That will not happen again. My name's Jeff, by the way. It's good to meet you. I'm not Norman. But if you have your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. As Paul tells us here how we can live counterculturally so that we can maintain a generational impact. And what we're going to discover through Paul's writing is that this is much less about what we do and more about the kind of relational soil that we are creating in our families. Because if we're going to have rooted, resilient families, it's important that we have these relational nutrients in our soil if anything is going to be able to grow. Because as Norman displayed for us with this beautiful plant here, not only can living organisms not survive without nutrients in their soil, but they can't thrive. And so there are a couple nutrients every family needs to cultivate if they're going to pass on this generational impact by living counterculturally. And the first one is love. Because rooted families sincerely love each other. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. That word sincere means without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Paul is not talking about what families need to do here as much as the relational culture that families need to create so that there can be life. A few years ago, about 3 years ago, I learned this the hard way about what it takes in the soil for something to grow because I announced to my family, this year, we're going to plant a garden. And can I just say in the front end, I don't think I'm very good at growing things, but I said, hey, we're going to plant a garden. And my kids were excited. They were much younger at the time. And so I went out there and removed the weeds from this patch of ground. I put a fence around it so the animals wouldn't get to it. And then we went out and bought seeds. And we didn't buy those little starter sapling things because I'm thinking, this is my first time doing a garden. I want to be a garden purist, and I want to go right from the seeds. So I went and bought the seeds, put them in the ground, and we did it together, and we watered it every day. We did everything we were supposed to do, or so we thought. And after a week, my kids asked me, Dad, why isn't anything growing? And I said, oh, you just got to be patient. And after about a month where nothing was growing, all that was just an ugly patch of dirt, my kids went from asking, Dad, why isn't anything growing, to, Dad, why doesn't our garden look like our neighbor's garden? I looked over, and their garden was absolutely beautiful. And they said, Dad, next year, can you have them teach you how to plant a garden? I said, oh, okay. I get. But I learned something that day. And this is what I learned, is that if there is not the right nutrients in the soil, you can do all the stuff. You can remove the weeds, you can plant the seed, you can do everything, but if the nutrients in the soil are poor, nothing is going to grow, which is exactly the problem with our garden. By the way, I haven't tried it since. I'm scared. I'm scared to death. This is what Paul is trying to get at here. He's saying, you can't do sincere love. It's a relational element that you have to cultivate in the soil of your relationships, of which family is one of our most important relationships. Because as a family, you can do all the right things. You can get the right internet blockers so your kids don't see stuff they're not supposed to see. We can plan family events. We can come to church and do family devotions around the dinner table. And I hope you're doing all of those things. But as good as those activities are, they don't single-handedly cultivate the kind of love that Paul is talking about here. Because we cultivate this kind of love when we do two things simultaneously. He says, we both, at the same time, we cling to what is good, and at the same time, we hate what is evil. And dependent on your bent, some of us, we do maybe one at the peril of the other. Maybe we want to cling to what is good, but we don't want to think about what we hate. Or there are people in this room who say, you know what? Yeah, we need to think more about what we hate and all this. But here's what Paul's saying. No, you need to do both. We need to hold on to what is true about another person while at the same time, we don't lie. We need to do both at the same time. We will cling to what is honorable about each member of our family, while at the same time, we do not allow room for deception to live. We choose reconciliation in all of our relationships, while at the same time, we can confront sin in love. See, rooted families aren't grown overnight. They are cultivated over the long haul, because a rooted family doesn't come from a seminar, a parenting book, a sermon at church. It's created over the long haul. And as we pay attention to the soil, we're not going to look like this plant. We are going to look like a rooted family that can withstand the storms.
Rooted families sincerely love because they are spiritually alive. I love what Paul says and continues to say in Romans 12. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitalities. See, rooted families are unique. There's something different. There's an exuberance. There is a very vibrancy about them that is absolutely contagious. Why? Because I love how the paraphrase message shows this. I love this version of Romans 12. It says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the master. Cheerfully expect it. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitalities. Very plainly and directly, Paul is saying and encouraging his readers then and today, refuse to burn out. Keep yourselves on fire and passionate about the Lord. In other words, he's saying, don't sleep, stay awake. You know what? We cannot afford to stay asleep on the job. I look around and I see all these young kids in this room. Can I tell you, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, they need you to stay alive. They need you spiritually aware. I learned this early on about sleeping. when Jeff and I first got married and we moved into our first apartment together, and all of a sudden I realized something at about 2 or 3 in the morning, and it kept happening over and over again. All of a sudden, Jeff would be sleepwalking in our apartment. I would find him over at the window talking to somebody about a football game, probably the Detroit Lions or something, and I would have to go over there and grab him and say, hey, you know what? Hey, let's come back to bed, right? I learned it was kind of a funny and startling thing. He's since given that up. I'm very glad about that. Okay. But what I learned there is that you can do a lot of things that make you look awake, but you're actually asleep. See, you can talk in your sleep. You can walk in your sleep. You can hear in your sleep. You can even think. I mean, he knew all the stats of the Detroit Lions, which were mainly a lot of losses, but not a whole lot of winning. But, you know, I have since become a fan. That's okay. Do you know, you can also sing in your sleep. Don't ask me how I know. Okay. But there's a lot of things that make you look awake, but you're actually still sleeping. And this is what we as families, as rooted families who are grounded in the soil of God's love, we cannot sleepwalk. You know what? Because we need to make a generational impact. It's time to wake up, moms and dads. And the reason that we need to do this is because there are so many who are needing the direction that we have to offer. In a world full of counterfeits, in a world full of people saying this is the way, we need to have the way and the truth, and that is the Word of God. It's like a lighthouse in a dark world. That is what our families are called to be, a lighthouse showing the way to home, but to the ultimate home, which is a relationship and eternity with Jesus. I love lighthouses. I love studying them. I like going there. In fact, I saw someone earlier who had a tattoo of a lighthouse today, in fact, here at Crossroads. I thought that may be my next step about lighthouses. I don't know. But I love, just kidding. Okay, moms may be watching this. I'm not going to get one. Okay. But I study lighthouses, and all along the eastern shore, these lighthouses were built, obviously before we had GPS or different ways, that would show a way for a boat to come in safely. It actually warned of different dangers that were underneath that sailors may not have known about. And just like there were these real lighthouses, there were counterfeit lighthouses. Almost like people who would pretend, who would create lights that would distract, and they would call boats in, but they were not the pure lighthouses. They weren't there to warn of danger. They were the danger themselves. In fact, they're actually called Judas lighthouses, if you want to look it up and you can check about it. But these people would create these scenarios that looked like lighthouses so that they could draw people in order to pillage them, in order to steal from them. And many sailors would discover this too late in the journey. If this doesn't describe what's happening in the American family, I don't know what does. Because it seems like there's a whole lot of things that are sent to lure us away from the true source. And they promise fullness, meaning, significant. Yet all they do is steal from us. And here at Crossroads, the vision is to live and love like Jesus. And for this to be possible, we've got to be spiritually alive. We've got to refuse to settle for counterfeits. And everything we do has got to come from that place of being spiritually alive. I love that the local engagement team here at Crossroads is giving you a tangible way to do that, even this summer. Right here, I have it up here. It's going to be up on the screen. They're out in the foyer for you to pick up. But these are the summer serve bingos. And the goal of this is to tangibly have ways and ideas to pursue spiritual vitality. Now, I want to be really clear about this, and I think it's super important. And the local engagement team said, please share this, and I think it's so great. We don't work our way into being transformed. We don't fill out these bingo things and do different things so that we can, you know, I want to work my way into transformation. No, actually, it's an overflow of the transformation that the Holy Spirit is already doing inside of us. It's a way to demonstrate the good works that God has prepared for us in advance to do. And if we're not careful, we can jump into a bingo card or something like that and say, oh yeah, we did a lot of activity as a family. We did this. No, it's coming from the place of cultivating that resilient faith. It's an overflow. And it's not just checking religious boxes. It's about encountering and living like Jesus. Because it's our job as a rooted family in the culture we live. Like Norman was saying, it is hard work. Yes, it is, to stand as a beacon of genuine and authentic light, exuding that spiritual vitality so that everyone we're connected to in a world of fake imitations can see the real Jesus. And it's our job to refuse to burn out.
You know, if you're anything like me, you're hearing this message about how rooted families serve together, rooted families sincerely love each other, and they're spiritually alive. And, you know, you want to check the boxes and do the things, which is good. I want to have practicals for what I'm doing. But I want to bring us back to what it means to serve God together as a family. My family has been serving and will continue to serve. We're serving at Camp Alive last week. We're serving at the youth choir outreach where we're going to be able to engage with the Evansville Rescue Mission and, you know, Potter's Wheel and all that stuff, which is wonderful. But do you know, when my family and I serve together, my girls are going to be unimpressed by my service. They'll think it's a fine thing. But do you know what is going to pass on a legacy? What's going to make an impression is the person that I'm becoming while I'm serving. That's the most important thing. Because if we do all of the serving, if we do all of that, if we fill out the bingo card, which is awesome, and without paying attention to the kind of hearts we're cultivating, we will simply do good works that will eventually burn up in eternity. Because it's not the doing of these things that will bring about the greatest impact. It's who we are becoming as we're doing. Much like my garden didn't grow, even after I thought I did all the things I'm supposed to do, but I neglected the soil, it's possible for me to be involved in a lot of good activity without producing long-term spiritual growth. But we can do both. It's completely about the health of the soil we're cultivating. As Norman taught us so very eloquently at the beginning, rooted families live counterculturally so that they can impact generationally. It's so important for us to remember that. And why does this matter? First of all, as followers of Christ, we want to leave a legacy. But secondly, because every person, every family is going to face storms. There are many of you here today who could recount all too well the storms that you have gone through, maybe the storms that you are going through. But what will determine whether you stand or fall in those moments is how far your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's love. Because as we maintain a deep-rooted system together, we can come through these battles victoriously rather than them characterizing who we are.
Currently, we are engaged in a battle as a family. And I say this and I share this not because I think, oh, we're the only ones. In fact, I share this because I believe we're not the only ones. That many of you in this room maybe are even currently in a battle. And if not, I've heard it said that if you've gone through one or you're currently one's around the corner, right? It's just the world we live in. In this world, you'll have trouble, right? But Jesus, he came and overcame the world. But about a year ago, we went to our kids getting their school physicals, all the things for it. And they looked at my middle daughter, and I think there's going to be a picture up on the screen, and we have three daughters, and we looked at her, and our doctor said, I think you guys need to go get a little bit more, some things checked out. But it's probably not a big deal. And so we went to a specialist, and they came out, and it actually turned out to be a pretty big deal. We were able to see, you can show up the side, that is what her spine looks like. And we had no idea. I had no idea. And did that throw us for a loop? Absolutely. And we began and have gone to three different specialists. And, I wanted to hear from the Lord about this. And I also wanted to hear from some of those who have gone through this path. And I wanted to make sure that this is what we have to do. But on November 9th, our daughter will undergo spinal fusion surgery. And it'll be a big deal. And we found the place that we felt was best. We're going to St. Louis and all of that. Can I tell you, that's not what I wanted for my daughter. Did I want to hear those words? No. In fact, I thought, anything, Lord, God, you can heal her. In fact, every night as a family, we've done this for 21 years, and we won't stop. No matter where we are, we pray as a family. I believe in laying on hands and praying and asking Jesus. He can heal her however he wants. But he may be using, you know, the surgeons to do that. Did we want that? No. But can I tell you how you'll survive storms? How you'll thrive through storms? It's not by pulling up your bootstraps and getting dirty like Norman was saying. It's about being rooted in the soil of God's love and trusting in the character of God, that he is good, that he is faithful, and that he will never leave or forsake you. That is the God that we serve. And so I'm here to remind you, no matter what battle you're facing, we don't overcome by our good works, by doing. No, we overcome, right, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, our testimony. And I've looked at my middle daughter and I said, can you imagine the testimony that you're going to have? How you're going to reach people? And I want to say that to you. God has brought you through. He is bringing you through. He will bring you through. You just need to stay connected to him. So I wanted to end this time just even right now as an opportunity with those people who are right next to you. Could you grab their hands with your family? We're going to do a kind of a family prayer. And you know what? Maybe you're here and you go, man, my family's not here. Can we practice inventive ways of hospitality? Church family, could you look around and grab somebody who's maybe sitting on their own, grab them in your circle and just, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for those battles that we're facing, that we would stay rooted in God's love and in his power. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. You are faithful. You are our God, and we trust in you. And God, I lift up every family here today. God, they want to be rooted in you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just equip moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, God, your people to be rooted so deep in you that no storm can topple them over. God, that they will stay connected to you. God, I pray, Lord, that even here, right here in Evansville, Indiana, at Crossroads Church, God, that this would be a lighthouse, a beacon of spiritual vitality, of those who are so on fire and awake for you, Jesus. God, that it overflows into all. And we thank you, God, that we can trust in you, that you are faithful, and that you will accomplish all that you said to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.